it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Stochastic.com MLB Strategy Show. Well, nine-game action on a Monday evening. Dave Locker and Greg Ehrenberg hanging out with you today, breaking it all down. Glad to have you guys with us. Hopefully you had a good weekend. I had a nice weekend. What about you? You have a good weekend?
Yeah, it was good. I hung out with my brother a lot yesterday. We watched basketball games. We watched hockey games. I watched baseball as well. It was good. There was a lot of sports on this weekend. So yeah, all good by me. The weather was nice. It's like 80 degrees here today. Should be good times.
Real nice yesterday. I went over to my father-in-law's yesterday. We went to church first.
Whoa.
And then went to Mulch's house. Big yard, big property. A lot of mulch. Got a little bit sunburned, but then afterwards they grilled up some burgers and I just started knocking back some beers. I'm feeling it a little bit because I just kept going throughout the day. We're good. But the Sixers are a joke, man. You say what you want about anyone on that team. The rebound. Did you watch that game? Did you watch that 1 p.m. game?
Yes. So actually you could finish your thing, but then I had a question I wanted to ask you about that game.
Yeah, you're going to ask me about Embiid and about the fans, right?
Yeah. And the videos, just the crowd just being what appeared to be very Knicks dominant fans at the arena chanting fuck Embiid for a lot of the game.
Dude, it's been a long time since I've seen anything like that at a Philadelphia game. It really has. Really, I was texting my buddies. I was like, man, there are a lot of Knicks fans here. And my buddy had texted me. He said the season ticket holders were only offered playoff tickets if they renewed for the next season, which is insane. And a lot of them just said, screw you. But no, the rebounding, the inability on the defensive boards for the Sixers is not only bad, it was terrible, dude. Like, you can't, in a three-point or a one-possession game, allow four offensive rebounds on the same possession. Like, that's as bad as it gets. It's as bad as it gets. They should have won game two. They should have won game four, but they can't rebound. And the Knicks are just a more physical, right now, better team. But I don't know. Embiid saying all that, it's like, yeah, all right, dude, that game, sure. But you also have to keep in mind, Greg, like, that's one of the most rabid fan bases out there. So yeah, you have that one game that ended up being a ton of Knicks fans, but every single day that Embiid has played in that stadium at the Wells Fargo Center for the entirety of his career, there's been nothing but crazy Sixers fans filling the seats. So like, you want to use that as, did the Knicks fans make you not rebound? Are the Knicks fans the reason you couldn't rebound yesterday? Are the Knicks fans the reason you couldn't rebound in game two? I've had enough.
Yeah, it seemed. I mean, if Sixers fans weren't showing up to that game yesterday, there was probably some bit of a breaking point. I think the other side of this too, though, is the Knicks have had, for all the talk about like big markets and how it lures teams to certain spots, the Knicks have had zero success signing free agents over the last 20 to 25 years. I wonder if this is going to be the turning point where people are going to be like, hey, this is a spot we might want to go play with the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. Because the team's kind of cool for the first time, like, in my entire life.
Yeah, dude. And credit to Tom Thibodeau as well. They are. They're fun. They're fun. I don't like it. I'm not enjoying it. But I appreciate it. I respect it. Are they better without Julius Randle?
No. They're not better without Julius Randle. It caps their upside. I also think the series would be different if Joel Embiid was healthy. I mean, who knows if Joel Embiid could play an entire 82-game season, then be healthy in the playoffs. But it's definitely something I think that's hurt the rebounding. Joel Embiid can barely move at this point. There's possessions where he's struggling it up and down the court. I think he played 22 or 23 minutes in the second half last game. So he's just clearly very compromised, but that's also been the case with him every single year in the playoffs.
Nick Nurse made the right move, though. Like when Hartenstein went out at the end of the third with five fouls, I was like, Nurse has to leave Embiid in here. He has to leave it because Mitchell Robinson was out. But then Precious Achiuwa ended up having a really good fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Whatever. Let's talk baseball. We got a few interesting spots today, Greg, and we'll dive into all of them. First things first, though, again, welcome back from the weekend. If you guys haven't done so yet, take one single second, hit that thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. And if you're watching or listening after the fact, leave a comment down below. We appreciate those. We read them. We respond to them. And last thing, you already know. You want to listen in podcast form? You want to close your phone? You don't have YouTube Premium or something like that? Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We're on all the podcast platforms. After this goes live, we upload it. Jordan will upload it straight to podcast, and it's there. So just so you're aware of that. Anyway, let's get into it, man. We've got nine games for this slate. Some pretty good pitching today, and we can jump straight into that. There is one guy I want to talk to you about first, though, and it's kind of been a theme here. We've been targeting Chicago a lot with pitching lately. Highest top two pitcher probability on this slate is Joe Ryan of Minnesota going up against this White Sox team that's just remarkably bad. Matter of fact, Joe Ryan just last start went up against Chicago and was good. He wasn't great. He was good, right? He allowed three, but went six, got eight strikeouts, got the win. They're once again huge money line favorites today. And as it currently stands on Joe Ryan, you look at the leverage score, he's negatively leveraged, but still sub 30% ownership. I actually thought he'd be getting a little more than that today.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised by it also. And also, does Joe Ryan just only pitch against shitty teams in the AL Central?
Dude,
every, and also, so it seems like we do this show. Joe Ryan pitches every single, maybe not, like every other day, Joe Ryan seems to pitch this year. And it's always against the White Sox, the Tigers, just only crappy teams Joe Ryan's gone up against. And it's generally gone pretty well for him as of late. I know that he's 10,400. Also, he's going to be pitching in Chicago, which is a little bit more of a hitter-friendly park. But I mean, considering how well he's pitched, what the strikeout stuff has been, I agree with you. I think he should be higher than 28% owned. He's a pretty easy click in cash games and for tournaments. I want to be overweight to that mark as well.
You know, was he great against them last time out? No, he gave up two home runs. But you know, the thing that stands out to me, Greg, is the fact that he still gave you a very solid outing. Like, you still got a solid game from Joe Ryan. And today, on the road, they're still minus 170 money line favorites. The White Sox still have an implied total of what? 3.5, I think. 3.5. Yeah, 3.5. It's a good spot. And then there's another guy. This will be fun. I've been kind of waiting to ask you about this because ownership is low. Price point is reasonable, but he's positively leveraged in a matchup against an Angels team that, I mean, this Angels team right now is no good. You lose Ohtani. Mike Trout's really the only reliable guy that you can trust at this point. He has been dominant. I think he has like 10, 11 home runs already, but leads the league. Christopher Sanchez. Let me just say, Philly's starting pitching has been excellent with, you know, fortuitous matchups. But he has a 25.5% strikeout rate this season. He's swinging strikes, getting them at 11%, 8,400 in LA against the Angels today, actually positively leveraged, second highest top two pitcher percentage on the slate.
The biggest issue I have with him is the price point at $8,400. It's been a guy, Christopher Sanchez. And also, are YouTube comments not working for you?
Comments? You mean like just the live chat? Mm-hmm. They're working.
Interesting. I tried to pull it up on my computer and it said comments are disabled. So, that's weird. Neither here nor...
Hold on a second. Wait. Why is YouTube doing this lately? Eric really caught the brunt of that over on the Odd Chopper.
I don't think it's intentional. I think it's just a bug.
It's a glitch. For those of you... First of all, Eric's fantastic when it comes to betting baseball. We all know that. He had an amazing season last year, but he had a rough run a couple days last week and then over on the Odd Chopper channel. And then YouTube had disabled all of the comments on the videos. right? So then people are going over to like Eitan and Ben's to go, yo, why is Eric hiding from his picks? What the hell's wrong with this guy? You know, like, man up. And then the best part was the next day he sweeps the board and then the comments weren't disabled anymore. So people just thought that he's enabling and disabling comments depending on when he has a good day or a bad day.
So I mean, if I was just somebody who didn't really understand YouTube or that there was a glitch that was going on right now, it's a pretty logical conclusion to jump to. Like, I would think the exact same thing. When you see somebody on Twitter, one of these, you know, goofballs that is just like losing bets, they disable comments. And obviously, like, there was that guy the other day who had bet the, which I think he did, because it was the one you, myself, and Ben had the DM exchange about, where there was the guy who said that if the Celtics didn't beat the Heat, he had bet them the first half money line, parlayed with the second half, that he would cut his dick off, and then he had his comments disabled. So, yeah, like that guy, I think, probably did it intentionally, turned his comments off on that one. But yeah, Eric didn't. But I do think it's funny if we all just pretend he did do it intentionally.
It's way funnier. Yes, this guy said, first of all, he had like a 70-unit play on a minus 400 or something, right? And then said, bet big. Bet your house, bet everything. If this loses, I will cut my cock off.
Yeah. And,
by the way, this is someone on Twitter with 30,000 followers. So now you guys know what you're dealing with out there. 30,000 followers for that type of crap. And it lost, right? Yeah, it lost. And people said, hey, break out the scissors, pal. But yeah, anyway, Jordan, does it say it for you or are comments working for you?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You just did it. Did you hear what he said? Okay. All right, cool. I think you make a point on the price point for Sanchez for sure. But I don't want to overlook, like, he does have pretty good strikeout upside. And he's not that high. I guess that's what it comes down to for me, Greg. Like, Sanchez isn't getting that much ownership. I think right now, he's like the fifth highest owned pitcher. We don't really have that many high owned pitchers though. Outside of Max Fried, who's essentially the same price as Sanchez, he's facing Seattle, good park, T-Mobile Park, great for pitchers. He's the highest owned pitcher on the slate at $3,200. And then you have Joe Ryan at like $2,900, totally different price point. But yeah, Max Fried at a similar price point, more than doubling that Sanchez ownership. And he got off to a rough start on the year, but is coming off a complete game shutout and appears to be turning things around. So I do get why people like Fried today. It's a really kind of a boom or bust matchup, but the strikeout upside is massive there.
Yeah, another thing too with Christopher Sanchez is he's been in the league for a while now. I mean, he's 27 years old. He bounced around in the minor leagues for a little bit. He doesn't have the best stuff in the world. So I think he's like a competent middle of the rotation starter. There's a pitcher we're going to talk about with a similar price point that has a fraction of the ownership that he has that I like more. I don't have an issue with Christopher Sanchez himself. There's other pitchers I like better.
Have you seen some of the strikeouts that these opposing teams are racking up against this Seattle squad?
There's been some big numbers.
Yeah. To put it lightly, there've been some. Brandon Pfaadt yesterday, he went six. He faced 23 batters. He struck 11 of them out. By the way, this isn't a guy that has elite strikeout upside. He's not bad. Don't get me wrong. But, dude, that's a wild. Ciccone struck out 8 in 6 the day before against Seattle. There's a lot of upside here with Max Fried. So I'd be lying if I said I didn't understand it. The question now becomes, do you want to pay $8,700, 32% ownership for a guy that we have as the most negatively leveraged pitcher on the slate.
He'll be in lineups for me, but if this ownership holds, I am not going to be at the field on Max Fried, who is projected to be the most popular pitcher on the slate. That's been the case all year. The field is just jamming pitchers against the Seattle Mariners. And due to the strikeout rate, I do think it makes sense. But going forward, it's not like I think this is going to be one of the worst offenses in baseball or anything like that. So relative to ownership right now, when I run everything through the Sims tool, and this is just because of what the ownership is, I do get to more of Christopher Sanchez than I get to Max Fried. If we don't have to worry about the ownership, then yeah, I would prefer Max Fried. I think Max Fried is somebody you guys should be playing in cash games as of right now. I think Joe Ryan and Max Fried is the preferred cash game combination. But yeah, the ownership's a little bit too high for me. So in tournaments, I'd rather be looking elsewhere.
What do you think your favorite tournament plays are for? Well, you know what? We'll get there in a moment because I think we have to talk about these 6K guys. I mean, we currently have three guys in the 6K range who are top six in ownership today. Top five, I'm sorry. Three of the top five highest owned pitchers are $6,200 Joe Boyle, $6,800 Matt Waldron against Cincinnati in San Diego, and $6,500 left-handed Bailey Falter in Oakland against the A's.
Yeah, and I mean, also, if you're running everything through the Sims tool, you're going to be getting a good amount of exposure to some of these guys. And I think it makes sense also in the context of the slate where if you do look at the pitching options, there are guys to like on the high end, you know, like Joe Ryan, like Max Fried, but it's not like these are guys who we're going to be wanting to get, you know, like crazy, like 60, 70% amounts of exposure to. So when people are kind of mixing around where it is that they're getting to, it's just a lot of these guys by default end up landing into lineup. So Joe Boyle is somebody who's had a lot of issues with walks this year. He's given up some hard contact, but on the positive side, he generates a lot of strikeouts. He's pitching at home in a pitcher-friendly park against a pretty mediocre Pittsburgh Pirates offense. So Joe Boyle at $6,200 of the cheap chalky options is my favorite one to get to, even though I don't even like him all that much as a pitcher, just not that hard to see a scenario where he has upside.
Are there any other guys that are at a similar price point that aren't getting ownership that are viable? Like Yariel Rodriguez is 7K. He's going up against Kansas City in Toronto. We know those Toronto pitchers at home have some type of black magic, or at least many of them do. Kansas City, a 4-run total. You know, I'm just looking at it. Like Oakland essentially has the same implied total as Kansas City. Cincinnati has the same implied total against Waldron as Kansas City. Who else did I mention that was in this price range? Falter, Waldron, and who was the third one?
Joe Boyle,
yeah. Right. And in that spot, Pittsburgh's 4.3. I think 7K ownership is 1.4%. I don't know. I mean, no ownership there for Rodriguez.
I think the biggest issue with Rodriguez, let's see, what has his pitch count been in some of these starts now? All right.
69, 80, but he threw 83 pitches on the 19th. So it's doable. That is clearly the biggest issue, is pitch count. You're not wrong about that, but he did go 83.
Yeah, Rodriguez pitches by start, like you said, got 83 out of him the one start. It's weird, though, because he went 68 pitches, 83, but then went back down to 69 pitches. Mm-hmm. I do think what this team ideally wants to do with him is limit him to like four-ish innings or so per start. It's an okay spot for him against the Kansas City Royals. Their offense, I do think they're going to end up regressing going forward, but it's really hard for me to want to be playing a pitcher that I think is most likely to throw like 60-something pitches in four innings.
It's tough, yeah, because they do. I think they anticipate him going back to the bullpen.
The reason that they wanted him to go to the bullpen was when Alek Manoah gets reintroduced to the rotation later on in the year. I don't know how they could anticipate Alek Manoah getting back into the rotation at this point. He's got like a 15 ERA in A ball or something like that, and they're trying to build him back up to the majors. I don't know what happened to Alek Manoah. He was a Cy Young candidate.
Yeah.
a couple of years ago, and he is just absolute dog shit now. He can't even get a minor league hitter. So, yeah, that Yariel Rodriguez, they're having him hold the spot until Manoah's ready, but I think it's doubtful Manoah's ever going to be ready. But at least for now, it makes me think Rodriguez isn't somebody I could roster.
Yeah, it's a shame because the guy's striking out almost 30% of batters this season through three starts. Like, the strikeout stuff is there. It's just, you're right. He did throw 83, but you don't want a guy to be on a leash at that price point. Do you have a preference? Is it Boyle over Falter and Waldron?
Yeah, just because of the matchup as well as him pitching at home in a pitcher-friendly ballpark. He's the pitcher I also get to the most of in the Sims right now. And you see that on screen as well. The Sims that Jordan ran, he's also got him in 35% of lineups as the most rostered pitcher that he got to when he just ran an unencumbered Sim this morning. So just all of our data and the fact that when I run everything through the Sims as right now, it's getting me to Joe Boyle. I'm going to have to answer him.
Yeah, Falter's in the same park, but he just has no strikeout upside at all. I mean, like, you need him to go six clean innings, it feels like, in order to get there. So I really don't love that. I'm with you. The problem with Joe Boyle isn't that he can't strike guys out. He absolutely can. He has a 23% strikeout rate. At that price point, 6,200, you're never going to complain about 23% strikeouts. The issue I have is the walk rate. It is astronomical walk rate. What's Pittsburgh's walk rate versus righties this year? Let me see. Fourth highest in the league. Don't love that. They're walking 10% clip and 817 plate appearances.
It's an issue to the downside of Joe Boyle, but it's $6,200. I don't think it changes what his upside is, which is what I care more about in tournaments.
I agree, especially considering they're dead last in ISO versus righties. So the chances that he gets tuned up real bad because he's issuing free passes, it's pretty unlikely. They're bottom five in WRC+. I think you're right. That's probably the spot. We talked Fried, Ryan, Boyle. Man, Severino pulls ownership every single time we do this. It's like him or Quintana that's somehow popular.
Severino's been so good this year. Also, he always ends up being contrarian by the time the slate actually starts. I think people have turned on Severino, but I remember at the start of the year when I was willing to buy into a bounce back from Severino and just the reaction was, no, Severino sucks. He was bad last year. There's no chance he's going to be good this year. And he did. He carried low ownership on the first few slates of the year. I don't know if it's going to turn where people actually start rostering him more. At 15% ownership, he's somebody that I'm going to be getting to in lineups. It's not all that much. But he has finally seen his price uptick, and he's in a tough matchup against the Cubs. I don't like Severino nearly as much in this start as I did in some of the ones a couple of weeks ago where he was like $6,500 and 6-7% owned against lesser offenses.
I'm with you. I mean, I'll tell you what concerns me about him is the fact that he's getting 7% swinging strikes this year. He's not really missing bats. He's getting a lot of ground balls. And I know that can change, but like, there's a career 45% ground ball pitcher. He's at 58% this year. Strand rate's fine. BABIP is sub 300. No real home runs. But this matchup really isn't that good. I think the price is probably... I would probably rather play Sanchez at the same ownership than Severino, just because we've seen him go out there with the big strikeouts.
There's a guy in this price range, you'll probably know who it is, because it's not the first time I've liked him, that is picking up no ownership in this same range. I think Garrett Crochet is a very strong tournament option today. His numbers are so good, his underlying numbers, whereas his front-facing numbers suck. He's a 6.37 ERA, but he's a 2.59 expected ERA. He's generating a ton of strikeouts. He's getting a lot of swing and misses this year. He just keeps running into bad luck in these recent starts. Also got a pretty good matchup today against the Minnesota Twins. But this strand rate of his, it has to regress. Because for his career, he has a 71% strand rate. This year, though, it's like 50%. Every other runner that gets on base against Garrett Crochet is coming around to score. This has to turn for him. This would be like unsustainably bad luck. And if we're actually going to be seeing a 5% owned Crochet going in today, like, at his ownership, I'd rather roster him than like Severino or some of these other guys, Christopher Sanchez in the same range, because I think he's the best pitcher out of all of them. And he has the least ownership. He's got the most strikeout upside. He just has to keep getting so unlucky every start.
You're not wrong. I mean, his K minus BB rate is 26%. That's elite. That's an elite number. A lot of these numbers look really good. He's not walking batters at a high clip. Power has been a bit of an issue. You know, he also faced Philly. I mean, he ran into a buzzsaw. The Philly bats were sleeping all April until the last week, Greg, and now they just can't miss, right? Like, you're getting two homer games from Bryson Stott. Alec Bohm is one of the best hitters in baseball at the current time. Like, he tough matchup. He got beat up by Minnesota last game too, but he still struck out six. I think you might be on to something here. Not that Garrett Crochet is infallible in this spot. He's not. Minnesota can still go out there and tag him. But if I'm looking at this price range, let's just say 8K, right? We'll say 8K price range. I would take him over most of them. Maybe all of them. I'd take him over Severino for sure. Over Miller against Atlanta. I love Miller, but that's a really brutal spot. Sanchez, it's close, but Crochet's currently pulling 5% ownership, highest leverage pitcher in the top pitchers tool on the entire slate. So everything you're saying lines up in our tools as well. Would you take him over all of the other 8K guys? I think you said yes.
Relative to ownership, for sure. Actually, so of the guys who are in the 8K range, the only one who I think is actually a better pitcher than Garrett Crochet is Max Fried, and he is 6 times the ownership. Like, I don't think if you play the slate out, you know, 100 times, like I don't think that you're going to see Max Fried outscore Garrett Crochet 6-1. And that's what the ownership is right now. Max Fried is 32% owned and Crochet is 5%.
Sean, that is that is interesting. Wait, what did I say is false, Sean? On Bailey Falter?
I can't see any of the comments.
He said that's false. Falter just as a career high for K's. Maybe he's saying Falter just set a career high for K's. Maybe that's what he's saying. He had 8 strikeouts against Milwaukee. Yeah, sure. I mean, if you want to cherry pick one game, I'm okay with that. But like, he's still, even with that game, he's still striking out 17%, 9% swinging strike rate. With that in mind, Sean, I'm not totally against your point that Oakland was in Baltimore yesterday and now they're traveling back to Oakland today to play on 0 days rest. That, I mean, like, that doesn't hurt. I'm not saying that's your number one thing, Greg, but it doesn't hurt. Falter's getting ownership for a reason. Oakland's bad, so I get it.
They were, I mean, we saw yesterday also, Albert Suarez was crazy popular against Oakland to the point where I had to do the thing that I don't like to do that I do a lot, which was the Oakland A's were my single entry stack yesterday, and it ended up going fairly well for the spot against Suarez. But I don't think every pitcher should be crazy popular just because they're going up against Oakland. But Falter isn't all that popular. He's 15% owned. It's not like insane. It's not the Suarez ownership from yesterday.
I had the A's run line in that hit. They ended up winning outright, right?
Yeah, they had, they were down, I think 7-6. I know they were down 1 run in the 9th inning, and then Craig Kimbrell came in and immediately gave a 2-run home run and then came out of the game with an injury. And then the A's ended up winning. Another thing that's good about the A's, if they're holding a late game lead, I know he didn't pitch yesterday. Mason Miller is nearly unhittable as a reliever. He comes into games, you might as well just sim to end of the game and just consider it a win for the Oakland A's. So yeah, if you get a late lead for Oakland, they're almost certainly going to win.
Any other pitchers that we haven't talked about? It's actually an interesting slate for it because there are some guys like 5% Crochet. I don't want to get to Taillon really in this spot. Miller, I suppose, just because he's really good, is always viable and it's a quality park. But He's not going to stand out. I'm honestly surprised Griffin Canning is getting 10% against Philly.
It does seem like a decent amount. I mean, he's $6,300, so people are just getting there, because I'm sure there's people who are building lineups who are like, wait, I don't want to have, 30% Joe Boyle. So it's like, I'm going to put in a lineup with, Jameson Taillon or Bailey Falter, some of these other guys. So the ownership is fairly spread out there on the low end.
It is. Also, implied totals, I don't think I mentioned that at the top of the show, but if you're just looking at run totals, Greg, there are, of this entire slate, so what do we have, 18 teams going? All but three of them or four of them are below 4.5, and only one is above 4.7. That's the Dodgers against Tommy Henry at 5.5 runs. So there are a lot of pretty low totals on this slate across the board. Look, even Atlanta at 4.2. You have Philly at 4.6, Toronto at 4.7 against Bolin, Dodgers at 5.5, Arizona at 4.7 against Paxton, and that's it as far as the higher totals go. That's everything above 4.5, above 4.3.
And that's also why, when we talk about stacks here in a second, you'll start to see why there are more cheap pitchers picking up ownership today than on other slates, because you've got people who are like, hey, there aren't that many teams with high totals, therefore I'm going to go try and jam the Los Angeles Dodgers. And if you're going to play Los Angeles Dodgers stack, the only way to do it is with two cheap starting pitching. So it's actually the Dodgers and the spot they're in and what their team total is that's dictating pitcher ownership more than anything.
Yeah, it's a good point. Nick Lodolo, Ryan Pepio, anybody else we haven't talked about up in that north of 9K range?
Not that I'm getting in lineups.
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm not really sure we need to... Just looking at this now, seeing if anything actually warrants conversation, probably not. No, I don't think so. All right. You want to talk some stacks?
Yeah, let's go and get into some of the stacks.
All right. Oh, by the way, Jake, I saw your comment earlier and I forgot to respond to it. I love seeing like regulars here take something down for sure. Jake asks, how do I go about getting the free month for the Hall of Fame? So you're rocking the avatar. Oh, that's stochastic.com/avatar, by the way. You rock that, finish top three in a field of 5,000 or more. Get a free month, any subscription of your choice, up to $200 value, whatever you want. Just tweet us. It's Stochastic HOF. So, Jake, oh, and by the way, there it is. I feel like I need to read this tweet because it was a good one. Jake just signed up for The Sims and almost took down the 50K, which makes me very, very happy. $17,629 in the bat flip. So, shout out to you, Jake. Just email us at support@stochastic.com and we'll get you set up. But how about that for just signing up for The Sims, Greg, and pulling down almost 18K?
It's not bad at all. It was a good weekend for The Sims. I think this was the best stretch of MLB DFS the last like 5 days or so that I've had the entire season. And it's good to see that other people have been benefiting as well. So Jake here, right after signing up, hitting for what? So I guess he came in second place, which also, come on, can we make the payout structures a little bit more balanced? Do we have to give like half the prize pool to first place here? So Jake DeWitt, you got a little bit more of the money here, but yeah, it's really cool to see that he signed up and just immediately almost won a big GPP.
Big time. By the way, shout out to Gary Fleming. I know that, or Jerry Fleming. I know that this is a MLB show, but Jerry Fleming took down 10K with The Sims for PGA. And then in another contest, he took down third place behind first and second place, Greg. And that was awesome-o DFS. Alex Baker, still taking him down.
In his free time.
You guys want to check The Sims out. Awesome, awesome tool. It comes with everything, right? For MLB. Top stacks, top pitchers, ownership, player projections, top hitters tool, premium Discord, all of that stuff. We have The Sims all access too. Like if you wanted basketball, baseball, and PGA, and you get a huge discount if you rock the avatar. Either way, all that's in the description and the chat. But I shall not bury the lead here, Greg, because We actually have a promo running right now. Lineup generator plus premium Discord, first week, $5. So if you want to jump in on the lineup generator, you've been thinking about trying it out, looking for maybe a different process or even something to support the process and help you fine tune it, this is the way to do it. $5 for the entirety of the week. That's well under $1 a day, plus the premium Discord on top of that. It's a good one, man. I think we only have this for a couple more days as well.
Yeah, it's going to be expiring on Wednesday. And yeah, it's a really good deal. If you guys have been wanting to get access to the lineup generator, just $5. There's a link for it below in the description box, promo code double. And any of the packages you sign up for at Stochastic, it also gets you access to the Discord channel. So if you ever want to, over the course of the day, ask me strategy questions, or just want to ask questions on shows, if you're in the Discord channel, you could always at me.
Yeah, man, you can lock players, swap players, see how contrarian or chalky every lineup is, see the optimal projection, save the ones you like, upload them straight to CSV, select your stack types, all of that stuff. Select your cash game, tournament type, whatever. And then you can see all of your exposures to all the pitchers. You can see all your stack exposures. For $5 a week, it's a really, really cool tool. Well worth the test drive. You just want to check it out. Link down there as well. So only a couple days left if you want to jump in. Let's talk bats here. You made a good point. When it comes to ownership, on these, it's like you had the Dodgers way up there. You have Minnesota against Crochet, that's very owned. Then it gets flat after that. Philly is such an interesting spot to me because there are really cheap pitchers that you can get to. Maybe it is Boyle. Maybe, to Sean's point, maybe it's Bailey Falter. Maybe it's some of these other lesser price pitchers, even some 8K guys. The reason I say that is because Philly is not a cheap team to get to today at all. But against Griffin Canning, they are so low owned right now compared to, you know, not, I hate to be like a recency bias guy, but they're half the ownership of the Dodgers. They're almost half of Minnesota. We do have them with not the greatest stack score, but I think that's just because they're so expensive.
Yeah, and it is something that is prohibitive for me to be able to get there. I don't hate the Philadelphia Phillies at all as a stack today. It's just the price points are so difficult for me to get there. So I have them in 6% of lineups on the first run I did here. So while they are showing up as under-owned in the top stacks tool, that's just based on what their chance of being a top scoring team. It doesn't take the price point into consideration like you were saying there, because if you do start to take the price point into consideration, you look at the top value column, they only have a 1.9% chance of being the top value stack on the entire slate. So if I did have to pay up for a team, I would prefer the Dodgers, but their price point is also kind of prohibitive. So there's other spots that I prefer to go with my stacks today. It's not a terrible spot for the Phillies. And you could even argue there's a little bit of leverage because Griffin Canning's actually 10% owned himself, but the salaries look like it's going to prohibit me from getting to them.
I get it. I'd say it's a pretty good spot though. Canning is just not getting strikeouts. He's not getting any soft contact, a lot of barrel balls. 46% fly ball rate in a pretty favorable park for bats. Almost 2 home runs per 9. It's just a matter of like how difficult is it to get to these Philly bats. And when you look at them, there are some expensive ones. Turner 62, Harper 6,000 on DraftKings, Schwarber 55, Realmuto 5K. Alec Bohm should be more expensive. He's been the best bat on this team all year, 4,800. They're real expensive, man. So are the Dodgers, though. The Dodgers are... you're going to have to pay for them. A few cheaper bats towards the middle back of that order that should free things up a little bit. But what about some value stacks? Are there any, like Minnesota is one that's popular, super high value score though, looks good in our tools, looks good in the sims. Are there any other ones that you want to dig into?
Yeah, so it depends exactly what we are getting to in terms of value. So like super, super cheap stacks where the players are all like around 3K, that's a no for me. But the Toronto Blue Jays are the stack I'm getting the most exposure to. And it's also a team that's underpriced. So not as cheap clearly as a team like the Minnesota Twins or as cheap as a team like the A's or anything like that. But the Toronto Blue Jays, as far as teams that we actually have projected with decent odds to be a top scoring team, the Blue Jays also have pretty good top value rates. And the main reason is because they're going up against this guy, Jonathan Bolin, who's going to be starting for the Kansas City Royals. And his minor league numbers are terrible. He is a 27-year-old non-prospect in the Royals organization. Here's what his numbers were in AAA last year. He made 14 appearances. He had a 5.24 ERA and a 5.6 expected ERA. Then what was he like at lower levels? Well, last year in Double A, he had a 7.2 ERA and a 4.98 expected FIP. The year before in Double A, he had a 6.92 ERA and a 6.17 FIP. This guy has been terrible for his career in the minor leagues. And I know his numbers are slightly better this year in the minors, where he's only made four starts. Every other year, though, this guy's been terrible. There's a reason he's a 27-year-old that hasn't made it up into the big leagues until recently. And I think the Toronto Blue Jays should be a team that really has their way with them. And they're not all that popular, and they're underpriced because they've underperformed this season.
Yeah. There's a lot to like here for sure on this Blue Jays side. How much exposure are you getting to in the Sims right now? Jordan, you can pull that up first... as well. Also, real quick, Jordan, run the lineup generator. I want to see what our stack exposures look like. Just save the first 20. We don't have to nitpick here. Go ahead, Greg.
44% is the amount of exposure I'm getting to the Blue Jays on my first run.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, if you look in the lineup generator right now, it's all Blue Jays.
Really?
Pretty much.
All right, let's see. Let me just.
That's 40%. It's kind of it's almost the same number I get to in the Sims.
That's a lot. Yeah. And then 28% Pittsburgh. Go to this isn't surprising though, because these cheap pitchers can still get blown up. Go to player exposures. I just want to see how much Boyle we're getting to as well. Like if we're getting Pittsburgh, but also a lot of Joe Boyle. Yeah, 15% Boyle, 28% Pittsburgh. It does make sense though, Greg. It doesn't shock me at all that we'd see something like that.
Yeah, if Joe Boyle is going to be over 20% owned, it's a spot that's going to make sense to get exposure to both sides. Kind of similar to, if you guys remember, the first start Joe Boyle made of the year, he's pitching against the Red Sox, and he was like 30% owned in that start, where it was like, hey, he was very cheap. He had some strikeout upside, but there was also leverage to stacking the Red Sox against him, so it made sense to play both sides of it. This is going to be another one of those scenarios.
Yeah, hey, if you haven't done so yet, if you don't mind, guys, take a second. Tap that thumbs up. If you hate this show, hit the thumbs down. Make sure to do it twice, though. Yeah. Honestly, there are some stacks that just are wildly unappealing. And a lot of them, like, Severino's been good. He's not allowing power. He's not getting strikeouts. He's not the greatest DFS pitcher right now, or at least in this spot against Chicago, and it's in Citi Field. But he's not allowing a lot of power. Like, the Angels... offense has just been underwhelming in large part. Sanchez hasn't been bad. Are there any under the radar spots? Let me phrase this. Let me think of how to phrase this. So, like, good pitchers or good pitchers, but are also kind of vulnerable to giving up home runs and having those rough starts on the long ball. Like, any stacks that just aren't really showing any ownership because they're going up against a good pitcher, but maybe have some upside today?
Let's see. Yeah, I think the one I could make a case for that I don't even get exposure to right now, but it would have to be the Seattle Mariners against Max Fried.
Exactly where
because Fried is just so insanely popular, yeah. North of 30% owned, that if I was looking for a team that's also not a terrible offense, the Seattle Mariners, yeah. There's actual power upside in this lineup. It's not a team I want to go out of my way to stack or anything like that. But if I was entering my 150 lineups right now and the Mariners are currently projected for 1% ownership, I probably have 4 or 5% exposure to the Mariners in my set of lineups, which would be, you know, way overweight to the 1% owned he has.
That was going to be the one I'd throw out there too. But this is a Mariners team that, what was it? Just on Friday, I think, right? Not a crazy game, but Zach Gallen goes out there, good pitcher. And it's certainly a tough park to hit homers, but three homers for Seattle in that game. Like, it's still doable just because it's a bad park. Rojas, Garver, and Haniger all homered in that game, two of them off Zach Gallen. So, yeah, I'd say just based on the massive ownership for Max Fried, I don't think either you or myself are going into a spot like this thinking, oh, yeah, Seattle's going to put up 11 runs. But, yeah, no ownership at all on them. quite a bit on Max Fried. We have him at 32% right now, and we have 1% on Seattle. Like, I don't want to go to the White Sox or a lot of these teams. You know, no stone unturned here. I'm just trying to make sure we have all of our ducks in a row before we get out of here. I think that's it. I mean, God, Dodgers against Henry, Philly against Canning. They have the second highest top stack probability. They're just super expensive. Toronto against Bolin. My only question now is, does Toronto just get steamed throughout the day? And when we rerun ownership later, they're going to be way more popular than they are right now?
I don't think so, just because the Dodgers team total is so high that it's hard for me to not envision their ownership holding. And that's kind of something that would have to happen for the Blue Jays to be chalk, is the Dodgers would have to relinquish some of their ownership. And if the Dodgers are going to have a team total of nearly 6 runs and no other team is going to be north of 5, then the Dodgers are going to stay being really popular. I don't have an issue with the Dodgers either. I just find their price points to be prohibitive. So I have more 3-man stacks of the Dodgers than any other team. I just don't get to very many 5-man stacks.
I just got my underdog pick'em video up short for basketball today. We're up 7 units since the start of the play-ins. Not bad, Greg. Underdog's sweet. And $100 first match deposit bonus. They do discounts all the time too. Like discounts on strikeouts and points and all that stuff. If you're over there, make sure to be paying attention to that. For, like I said, up to $100. If you put 100, you got 200 now. You put in 50, you got 100. But how about this? Maybe you're not as excited as I am. So best ball summer, now that the NFL draft has concluded, shout out to the Eagles with some great picks for the secondary. Now that it is concluded, $17 million in prizes for best ball summer on their best ball football contests. That's massive, dude. They go so big for best. It's only getting bigger too. And I don't think anybody does it any better than Underdog right now. The $17 million of prizes, I am actually debating whether or not I'm going to start getting some drafts in today. What I did last year is I started a little late, not super late, but like on DraftKings, I think I got 102 in or something. I wanted to go 150, but God, it takes a while. So you got to start early. And then also you're spreading out your exposures in a nice way too, if you start early in the season and work your way all the way up.
What I really like, I tweeted about the best ball format that was just released by Underdog. They haven't made it crazy top heavy, where you don't have to come in first place to have a really big win. 20th place pays out $100,000 this year. So they've done it in a way where the payout structures are really flat, where if you have really good teams, you're going to be rewarded even if you don't come in first place.
Yeah, exactly. It's awesome. Plus, the pick'em contests are huge. The daily drafts for baseball, basketball, football, hockey. They have a million different formats to play. So if you're not an Underdog, click the link in the description or in chat. Get your deposit bonus. Get your discounted plays each day if you're in a pick'em state. If you're in Florida, they have the Champions peer-to-peer format as well. So really cool stuff over there. I love it. You will too. Ace of Spades said, thanks, Laffy, for blessing us with Greg. This is a super chat. This is the tears guy, isn't it?
Yeah. Ace of Spades. Although there's also a fake Ace of Spades in playback that is using the good name of Ace of Spades to try to get VIP consideration every day.
Nice. Well, at least he didn't ask for tears plays. I'm okay. Before we go, let's do top pitchers, top stacks, and see where we can go with this. So, top pitchers. Let's go high-end, mid-range value. I think that's the best way to do this.
Okay.
You can go first.
All right. So if I'm looking on the high end, Joe Ryan, the mid-range, Zach Crochet, if he's only going to be 5% owned, I'm going to be way overweight to the field to him. There's just no way his luck numbers don't turn around. On the low end, I'll uncomfortably say Joe Boyle just because I have to pick one guy. But I do think on the low end, you probably want to be spreading out your exposures a little bit. But that's where I'll go on the low end.
All right. I'll go, Ryan, I'm with you on Crochet. You sold me. But a nod to Christopher Sanchez here, too. Angels have a top five K, top five, or I should say fifth worst strikeout rate this season against right-handed pitching. Against left-handed pitching. So I think there's something to be said there for Sanchez. And this 8K range to me is one of the most interesting among all of them, just because there's a few guys that stand out, whereas Fried in that same range is so expensive. So popular at 32%, which just suppresses ownership on everybody else. I'll go Falter on the other side. I'm coming around to Bailey Falter. I think both pitchers there, God, can you believe it? Bailey Falter and Joe Ryan, Joe Boyle down there are guys. Let's go top stacks. At the top, I have to go Dodgers. I'm not going to go priced here, just the ones I like. I'm throwing Philly into the mix and Toronto. Honestly, I'm looking at just top stack percentages. Incidentally, those are my three favorite ones. I'm not super surprised by that. I really like all three of those today.
Yeah, I mean, overall, by my exposures, it's the Dodgers. Although, like I said before, it's primarily more three-man stacks than five-man, but I have a lot of secondary Dodger stacks. Then the Toronto Blue Jays. And on the low end, I also like the Pittsburgh Pirates for leverage.
Okay. Appreciate you guys hanging out. Remember, links down there for everything. Sims, All Access, or just one sport monthly, weekly, double. Yeah, lineup generator, $5, plus premium Discord included. That goes through Wednesday. You get every single day there's baseball. So you're getting to use it every single day, unlike football where you're doing something like this. And Underdog, $100 first match deposit bonus. They're launching best ball today for football. I know you guys probably think I'm crazy because it's April, but I guarantee you do a couple of those, you're going to be like, oh, I see where he's coming from. Shout out to Jordan for producing. Greg at G Ehrenberg DFS, Mia Laffy _D, live before lock tonight. Live before lock for basketball, 3-game action tonight. We'll see you there, here. We'll see you on playback, and we'll catch you back here for the next one. Peace.